Welcome to the Rewrite Your Life Story podcast, hosted by your favorite duo, Stephen and Charlene. They're here to help you transform your mindset and create a positive outlook on life. Are you tired of feeling stuck and unfulfilled? Are you ready to take control of your thoughts and emotions and rewrite your story? Well, you're in the right place. They will be sharing inspiring stories, practical tips, and expert advice to help you on your journey to a better you. You'll learn how to let go of negative self-talk, embrace your strengths, and focus on the good things in life. Each episode, we'll be joined by amazing guests who have rewritten their own life stories and are now living their best lives. From successful entrepreneurs to accomplished athletes, we'll bring you stories of resilience, courage, and triumph. So grab a cup of coffee, get cozy, and get ready to be inspired. Tune in every week for a new episode of the Rewrite Your Life Story podcast. Let's rewrite our stories together and make every day count.
In this interview, we interview Jamie Grant, an ICF certified coach and workshop facilitator dedicated to helping individuals create positive change in their lives. Jamie has a background in positive psychology and people management and brings a unique perspective to her coaching and workshops by combining evidence-based practices with a compassionate client-centered approach. Join us as we delve into her story.
Before we get started, we want to remind you that the information presented in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and their guests are their own and do not represent the views of any organisation or entity. Additionally, any information presented should not be taken as legal, medical, or financial advice. Always consult with a licensed professional in the respective field for any advice or guidance. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's dive into today's topic and learn how to transform our lives through positive thinking and taking control of our stories. Thanks for joining us.
Before we begin, we want to give you a heads up. We may be discussing some sensitive and personal topics that might bring up some strong emotions or discomfort. Our goal is to create a safe and supportive space, but we know that everyone's experiences and triggers are different. If you start feeling overwhelmed or triggered during an episode, remember to prioritize your well-being. It's totally okay to hit pause and take a breath. Your self-care is important, and looking after your mental and emotional health should always come first. If you ever need extra support, we encourage you to reach out to a mental health professional or someone you trust. You're not alone, and there are resources available to help you on your personal journey. Thank you for joining us on this incredible ride with the Rewrite Your Life Story podcast. Together, we'll navigate life's challenges and rewrite our narratives with strength and resilience.
Hey, everyone. It's Stephen and Charlene from the Rewrite Your Life podcast. And today, we're really excited. We've got Jamie Gant from Radically Alive Coaching, who is joining us all the way from Johannesburg in South Africa, but originally from Ohio, Columbus in the USA. So Jamie, welcome to our show.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So Jamie, you have a unique story, and obviously Radically Alive Coaching has so much to it in its name. But tell us a bit about your story and how you came up with Radically Alive. What was the changing points in your life? So take us right from the beginning.
Sure. So I grew up in the Midwest in the States. I grew up in a very rural area, and my life was a bit toxic. My parents divorced when I was very young. My stepfather was quite abusive. My parents struggled with drug and alcohol abuse. It was a very unstable, very toxic childhood. And in my adult life, a lot of that sort of trauma was left unaddressed. I didn't know anything about things like mental health. I didn't know anything about how to take care of yourself. I just knew how to survive. That was all I knew. I knew how to be okay in whatever crazy environment was around me. And throughout my adult life, I started to notice that a lot of patterns were developing within myself. I was very determined to be exactly not like my mother. And at some point in my late 20s, I looked around my life and noticed, holy shit, I'm exactly like my mother. How did this happen? I was surrounded by toxic people. I was struggling with my own substance abuse problems. I couldn't hold down a job to save my life. I was up and down through depression, anxiety. It was just a hot mess, as they say. And as I started recognizing this within myself, I started to think, okay, I need to do something different. I need to make some sort of a change. I found myself going back to school, got a job, got my degree in business. Everything seemed to be going well. I was doing all the things you're supposed to do when you quote unquote clean up your life. So I got my degree, got the high salary, all that good stuff, married a beautiful man who on paper was just brilliant. So everything should have been great. And yet somehow, some way, for whatever reason, I was still depressed. I felt like I was living someone else's life. I've never felt quite comfortable within my own skin. I always questioned whether or not my friends were really my friends. My anxiety had reached such heights that I started developing OCD symptoms. Everything that I did was just like, I remember I had this pattern of doing everything three times, and I would have to lock all the doors three times, and I would have to check all the windows three times, and I'd have to check all the knobs on the oven three times. This crazy OCD thing. And I didn't understand what was happening because I did all the right things. I was doing all the things I was supposed to do. I went to gym every day. I ate salads. I was so healthy and I was so in the right spot, but it just wasn't working. And then I found myself listening to, I stumbled upon it, a Tony Robbins audio. I think it was once like a CD packet or something, and I found it streaming online. I got this streaming and I was listening to it. I was living in Chicago at the time and I was on the train to my job and I was listening to this podcast or this streaming. I guess you would call it a podcast now. I don't think it was then, but I'm listening to the streaming audio of Tony Robbins talking about, if you're not happy with something in your life, change it. And he just kept saying that over and over. He's like, if you're not happy with something, change it. If you don't like your job, change it. If you don't like your relationship, change it. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm getting kind of pumped up on the train to work. I'm like, yeah, I really don't like my job. I really don't like my relationship. I don't like my life right now. What do I need to change this? This is serious. This is important. And I remember the very end of it, the words that he said was, live with passion. And that right there, that was it. Live with passion. I was like, huh. Like it hit me right in my heart. And I thought, there's no passion in my life. That feels powerful. When I think about where my life is at, that is not where I'm at. And that moment, standing on the train, listening to those words, I was like, no, we need to do something else. And that sort of kickstarted my journey towards learning how to be authentic and learning how to look after myself truly. And eventually that's what inspired my coaching business. And I call it Radically Alive because I took it in my own direction. And while I do live with passion, I live radically. I live outside the norm. I don't follow a script. I do what I want and I do what's right for me. And I hold very hard to that. And that's what I want to help other people do, is live that radical lifestyle, whatever that means for them.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Jamie, one thing that's, as you can see, I take notes during podcasts. And one thing that really I want to touch on is, the very thing you didn't want to become, you became. Would you say that was a judgment call that you made and then you started manifesting that? Would you say it was a limiting belief? What were the events that led you to become the very thing you didn't want to become?
That's a great question. You know, it's very interesting. I've thought about this a lot, and I'm very much a believer of manifestation. I believe we do create our reality, and I'm most certain I did manifest that, because even if we focus on what we don't want, that's what we're going to get. What we focus on expands. And when I think back on that period of my life, I remember feeling like I was such a rebel and I was going to be so different from what I grew up around. And yet somehow it turned out to be exactly the same. And when I think about it in retrospect, I can guarantee it's because my thoughts all said, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. And that was where all my energy went. And that was exactly what I got. And I think also there were some limiting beliefs in that. I don't think that I fully understood or was able to comprehend that there was something outside of what I had been exposed to, that just because this was all I knew, it wasn't everything. And I think I only knew how to operate within what I knew. And we all get programmed when we're young. We are products of our environment. We're products of what people around us say is true about the world, and we don't know any better. And I think it was when I started making the decision to seek outside of what I knew to be true, things started to change. And so I had to just give myself the teensiest little nudge and ask myself, what if this isn't the only thing? What if I could be somewhere different? Just that tiniest little hint or glimmer of possibility was enough to at least get the ball rolling. And of course, we're talking like a 20-year journey here. So it wasn't like it happened overnight. But yeah, I think that it really was just a combination of both limiting beliefs and manifesting. You've got to pay attention to where you put your energy and your focus.
Yeah, that's so true. Because, you know, with the unconscious mind, it doesn't perceive negatives. So when you say, I don't want this, it actually manifests because it doesn't perceive the don't. So great lesson there. Thank you, Jamie. What if? What a question of possibility.
Such a great question. That just shows those options as well. And I know a lot of people in similar situations, they'll realize, hey, you know, I've become my mom, I've become this, I've become that. And they realize, oh, that's just who I am now. That's that they identify as that identity is like, well, that's just who I am. I can't do anything about it. So what was it? Do you feel that the catalyst for you to say, what if I could change? Was that that moment where you heard Tony Robbins saying, live passionately, or was there something else?
You know, I think it was a couple things. I think the first shift happened earlier on. So it was back in when I had that moment of realizing that I was just like my mom. I remember I was at a New Year's party, actually. I want to say it was New Year's 2006, probably. And I was at a New Year's party and I was just looking around at my chosen friends, and everyone was absolutely pissed, on drugs, out of their minds. And they were all complaining about the government and how their boss is terrible and how they're living paycheck to paycheck and all this stuff. And it looked like the scene that I was in as a child when my mother was hanging out with all of her chosen friends. And I remember when I was a kid, I was like, I hate these people. I hate being here. And then here I am looking around all of my friends, looking at the same exact space. And I'm like, what the hell? This is not what I want. Like, I am not doing this. So that was the first shift. And that was, of course, when I sort of, I call it going guardrail to guardrail. So I went to the extreme opposite of that. So I got completely sober, got my degree, got the good corporate job, and did all the things that you're supposed to do, because that was the only other option that I understood. I was like, well, if I'm not this, then I have to be that. So then I pursued that. And then once I got that, that was when I started to feel like, okay, I'm here, but why am I still not happy? I don't understand. I did all the right things. I did all the things to make me not my mother. But even though I'm not my mother, I still don't feel good. What is going on? And then when I heard Tony say, live with passion, I was like, ooh, damn, that. I want that. I want to live with passion.
Amazing. What? You had such a transformation. And it's really interesting that you say that, because something Charlene and I always speak to when we're working with people or coaching is the pendulum always swings to extremes before it finds balance. And it looks like that's what happened with you. The pendulum swung to a totally different extreme. Where did you realize that you needed to come into balance and start listening to Jamie?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it was quite a journey. And I would say, I mean, I'm definitely still in it right now. But about 6-7 years ago in 2016, I heard that message from Tony, live with passion. Probably like it must have been the year or two before, 2014, 2015, somewhere around there. And I had begun seeking what it meant to live with passion. And so I decided one good thing that might be beneficial is to go to therapy. So I went to therapy, and I was blessed enough to have employee assistance programs through my job where I was able to get access to therapy at a very affordable cost. And so I started dealing with some of my past traumas. I started learning terms like limiting beliefs and values, which I never understood what values were before, different things like that. And while I was on that journey and on that path, I started coming more into my own. I started understanding myself better. I started understanding what makes me the way that I am. Why do I get so upset when I hear people say certain things? Why do I freak out when I hear a door slam? Like all of these different things that would come up. And around 2016, I found myself in a new job because I decided, well, corporate life's not for me. I'm going to try something different. And I found myself working for a place called the Health Coach Institute, which taught people how to be coaches. And I was like, well, what's a coach? Let me learn more about this. And of course, I took a role in their customer service department because I had background in that. But while I was in that role, I started learning about this whole coaching world. And I found out that the founders of this company were mentored by Tony Robbins. And I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And I'm like learning more and more. And it was through that I started making some serious decisions because I decided to go ahead and take the coaching course and get certified. And then I took on a couple of practice clients. Then I started connecting with other coaches. And it just became this sort of snowball. And throughout that journey, one of the things that I talk about a lot with my clients and a thing that's very common in the coaching world is taking massive action. And when these terms started coming in front of me, I was take massive action. So I started taking some really big risks and I started doing things that I never would have thought to do before. One thing, unfortunately, meant ending my marriage at that time because I recognized that it just wasn't right. We were fundamentally, our values were completely different. Now that I knew what my values were and I understood what was important to me, I had to have that serious discussion with my spouse about how we're not on the same page. The next thing that was really big was I decided since I worked in a job that afforded me the opportunity to work remotely, I'm going to go travel. So I got rid of all my stuff, fit what I could into a suitcase, and I went to Prague to stay for 3 months. And when I got there, everything started changing. I met new people. I started reconnecting with who I was as a person inside. I was able to play more, which when I think back to my depression and anxiety days, the idea of doing anything other than what was prescribed was like unheard of. Wow. Like, what do you mean jump off of this bridge? You're crazy. What do you mean? I'm not going to do anything fun and playful. That's silly. That's no, I'm an adult. I'm going to do serious things. But yeah, I learned how to play. And from there, I found myself in Johannesburg next. I stayed for my 90 days that I'm allowed on my US passport. And then I wanted to go someplace warm because it was December. And I thought, you know, I watch this Trevor Noah guy on The Daily Show all the time, and he's from Johannesburg. I'm curious what that place is like. And without much thought, I started looking at B&Bs in Johannesburg, found myself here. And wouldn't you know it, I completely fell in love with this country and the people. And I was like, you know, I think I'm going to stay here. And so I started my path towards figuring out how to get my visa. And I've been here ever since. The rest, as they say, is history. So, wow. Yeah.
And just in that little bit, you have rewritten your life story so many times.
And so many
in so many ways. And it's so inspirational. One of your things that you talk about is radical acceptance, I believe you call it.
So radical acceptance is something that has completely changed my world. And I learned it through psychology. So throughout my coaching journey, I wanted to take my career to the next level as a coach. So I pursued my master's degree in psychology. And in positive psychology, I learned the term radical acceptance. And that is fully with mind, body, soul, accepting the facts, the situation as it is, even if you don't like it. It's finding a way to be like, okay, yes, I don't like this, and this is what it is. There's no changing it. And finding a way to always be in that space, to always accept this is my life, this is the result of my choices, this is who I am, this is what I have to work with. Okay, now I need to take a step forward. Because I think the natural human instinct, if we don't like something or uncomfortable, is we try and resist it or we try to change it. Even if it's already happened, it's already over. So like, how many times have we been in the shower replaying a conversation that happened 2 weeks ago and you're thinking, damn it, I shouldn't have said that, or, oh, I hope I didn't make that person uncomfortable, or, oh, maybe I could have done that differently. And you try and have like a whole new scenario come to life. With radical acceptance, it's coming into a space of, what am I accomplishing by reliving this over and over again? What can I actually do? I cannot change this. And anyone who's ever been through any 12-step program, it's kind of similar, except the things that you cannot control. When you think about the, I think it's the prayer, you have to accept the things that you cannot control. And so I find myself constantly using radical acceptance as kind of like my guiding light. So if I catch myself trying to time travel, as I call it, if I'm trying to go back in time and change a situation, I remind myself, like, it's all about that radical acceptance. You can't time travel. You can't change things. Even if I'm future pacing myself and thinking about what I want my future to look like, it's understanding that it's not going to look like what it is in my head. I have to be aware. I have to be open and understand. Yes, I might be pursuing a goal. I might be pursuing something that I really want, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the picture in my head. I have to accept that. I have to be okay with that, because life is going to be what it is. And we can either choose to live in it or try and change it. But I promise you, it's not going to be what's in our head. That's just not how it works.
So I guess it's not about trying to preempt what something will look like if you take a step in action and just going with it, letting it be whatever it is and just learning to whatever it comes.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like a come what may sort of mentality, but maybe not quite so zen. I like the radical term. The term radical for me, I think because I'm so inherently a rebel, I'm like, yeah, radical, outside. It's pushing the envelope. It's not what everyone would think it would be. So I really like that idea. And it falls right in line with my business of Radically Alive Coaching. To live radically is to radically accept life as it is and know that it's good. Even if you think it's not, it probably is in your favor in some way, shape, or form. You just have to find it.
Wow. That's powerful. Absolutely. Love that.
And it sounds like that has been one of your saving grace and being able to play, being able to come out and do things that you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jamie, you talk about self-love and you talk about self-acceptance, but everyone pushes their own theory of what that is and own agenda. And everyone's talking about the worst thing for me is taking a hot bath, having all that smelly stuff. And that just does not work for me. And I get hot, I get overheated, and bored, and I'm like, this ain't self-love, right? This is torture.
Yeah.
And I know that you talk about self-love from a different angle as well. Do you want to talk into that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So self-love and self-care are big parts of what I do in my business. And I try to look at it from a perspective of authenticity, of what's authentic to you. And when I think about things like self-love, I think about, what is the relationship between me and myself? Is it an honest one? Is it an open one? Is it a caring one? Is it a nurturing one? And so I know that I see all the time on the social medias, hashtag self-love, and they're like eating a piece of cake. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Hashtag self-love, and they're getting a manicure, a pedicure. Okay, that's cool. If that's what works for you, brilliant. Also, I think that self-love is about being open and honest with who you are inside. And really looking at the shadow work is a big term that a lot of people are familiar with. So looking at like some of the dark areas, looking into those dark corners of yourself that maybe you don't like so much. Like for me, for example, I've struggled with body image issues for a long time, as many women have, I believe. And that's something that I like to look at within myself and try and find, like, what is that? What standard am I holding myself to? And paying attention to how I communicate with myself. How do I talk to myself? How do I talk about myself? So when my friends are sitting around eating their cake, hashtag self-love, am I sitting there thinking, ugh, you have no idea what it's like to struggle with weight? Or am I thinking, wow, that's really great for you, and I'm choosing not to do that because it's not what works for me? So just paying attention to the dialogue and taking time to look after yourself properly. Simple stuff like go to the doctor and get a checkup, and like go see a therapist if you need to see a therapist. If you're on medication for any kind of mental health, take your medication. Properly groom yourself, like really genuinely look after yourself. It's not about creating a pretty picture of self-love. It's not just about showering yourself with luxuries all the time. It's about just being like, hey, listen, self, I care about you. I love you. I want you to experience this life in the best way possible. So I'm going to do all the things it takes to make sure that you're feeling okay. And if you're not feeling okay, I'm going to go figure out why. So, yeah.
That's absolutely great. You mentioned about sometimes as ladies, we can go through this whole body image in ourselves. What do you think are some of the factors that weigh into that, like make someone feel that way?
That is a great question. And, you know, I'm finding myself constantly analyzing society. I think I'm an anthropologist of sorts. Like I'm always observing people and trying to figure out what makes people the way they are and how did society get to be the way that it is. But I think it's kind of like a programming thing. It's unspoken agreements. It's unspoken understanding that this is what beauty is. And this is what is considered cool or attractive, things of that nature. And I think all of these unspoken agreements can really sink into one's unconscious. And when it's there, you start to compare yourself and you start to think, oh, but I don't look like that. And everyone seems to think that that is what is good and attractive and acceptable. And I don't look like that. So maybe there's something wrong with me. But I think it comes down to, as humans, where we need connection. Like if you look at any evolutionary study, you know that humans need to be accepted and loved and feel like they belong. Like we are a very connected species. Like we need that. We thrive on that. And so if something tells us that the way we look might prevent us from being accepted or from belonging to a tribe or a group or being loved, then it's going to create issues. And I think that that's where a lot of body image comes from, because there's so much glamorization around certain body types and certain looks that it can confuse the mind, especially these days with technology and socials and the perfectly angled selfie and whatever. It just can mess with a person's head a little bit. So you have to be aware of that. You have to pay attention and be kind to yourself.
Yeah, I love that. And we're kind to others, but we don't tend to be kind to ourselves. And I love what you said, one liner, and it's, what standard do you hold yourself to? And I think that's so profound, that one sentence. Like, if are we holding ourselves to a standard we're actually seeing on social media?
Yeah.
And how real is that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
How real
is that? Whose standard are we holding ourselves
to? Yeah, let's face it. You probably got 5% of the influencers, and I'm not bagging influencers or anything, but that's only 5% who have 80% of the feeds and have 80% of the popularity.
Yeah.
But the 80% are never going to be like that 5%. And we hold to that standard. So thank you so much for clarifying that for our audience. Like, what standard are you holding yourself to? Jamie, I'm just wondering, you spoke about Tony Robbins and you spoke about the coaching organization that you belong to. Obviously, these have been profound mentors, even if they're not relationship mentors, they're there on the side, like, you listen and all that. What impact have mentors made a very significant impact to who you are today?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I think that there are quite a few people in my life that I can think of that have really shaped who I am, whether it was through just learning from a relationship that I had about more about who I am as a person as a result of it. And also just seeing other people taking actions in ways that I maybe wouldn't have thought possible, which actually I think is important to think about who you're surrounding yourself with and who you are paying attention to, because mentors come in many forms. So I've had mentors through just people that I've interacted with on a daily basis, just as much as someone like Tony Robbins, who's quite a big influencer. And I think that what I get from like any kind of mentorship is, I think it's seeing someone embodying something, some characteristic, some action, some way of life that maybe I aspire to, or maybe I hadn't thought possible, or maybe I didn't, it never would have occurred to me someone could be a certain way, or someone could live a certain way, or make certain decisions. Humans are just such a unique species, and all of our backgrounds and cultures and ways that we've grown up and our experiences and the meaning we made out of those experiences, they all amalgamate into this way that we present ourselves and the way we show up and the way we make decisions. And so I really like to see how other people are doing things and how other people are playing life, because it gives me different ideas of oh, wow, I never would have thought that someone could see this from this perspective. That's interesting. I never would have thought of that. Let me think about how I can integrate that into my life. Does that fit with me? Does that not fit with me? Maybe I'm going to start making some decisions differently now. So yeah, there's mentors all over the place.
Yeah. And I just love that curiosity that you have.
Yeah.
You know, as in seeing if it fits for you. That's brilliant. Mm. And just that curiosity with human nature.
And, a lot of people do get sort of caught up in, if something was to happen, what if I took an action, or what if I did this and something really bad happened? So what kind of advice would you give to someone who was fearing the unknown and was afraid to take risks in their life?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, it's something that even I have in my own head sometimes, but getting caught up in what ifs and shoulds. I should or shouldn't do that because X, Y, Z. Or what if I do this and I look silly? Or someone doesn't like it, or whatever the case may be. I like to have people first think about worst case scenario. If you do it and it doesn't work out, are you going to die? Probably not. So if you're not going to die, maybe go ahead and see what happens. Because sure, something terrible could happen, but also, what if something really great happened? What's the best case scenario? Why couldn't it go that way? Maybe it will. You never know. But most of the time, it's usually not life or death situation. It's just something new and different. And to be quite honest, once you get so into the radical acceptance, and when you really can fully embody okay, this is life and this is what it is, even if you die, it's not going to be the end of the world. The world goes on. It's going to be fine. I know death for a lot of people is very scary. But it's just a different phase of life. You just haven't gotten there yet. You don't know what it looks like. Fine. Yeah. It's going to be fine. You won't even notice.
I love that. For anyone that's listening, are there any tools that you have incorporated in your life, any apps or anything that you have really used and have helped your journey along the way?
Yeah, there's actually a few things. Mindfulness is a big one. And I can actually recommend Jon Kabat-Zinn. He's kind of like the OG of mindfulness in the Western world. But anything, any of his books, any of his podcasts, any of his online courses, he created mindfulness-based stress reduction program back in the 70s. He was a medical doctor. It was a big revolutionary thing in the medical world. But he's got some great stuff. So anything mindfulness, which doesn't just mean meditation, by the way, which you'll learn if you go look him up. But yeah, mindfulness activities. I'm a big journaler. I love journaling. My therapist got me into that years ago. And I remember the first couple times I did it, I thought it was stupid. I was like, oh my God, what am I, 12 years old with a diary? This is silly. But it's really beneficial and really valuable. And there's a great app that you can find called Youper, Youper. It's sort of a journaling app, and it's almost like a cognitive-based coaching app. It's an AI bot, but it talks you through questions and it gives you little mental health checks. So it gives you the generalized anxiety questionnaires and generalized depression questionnaire that most therapists use. And you go through and you do your own little mental health checks, and then you do a little bit of journaling. And I actually have had this app on my phone for 6 years now, and I can still go back to all of my journal entries from 6 years ago. So you can back it up through your cloud. It's a great app. I don't know who the heck designed it. And it was a random friend who pointed me to it once, because I had said that it would be great if a coaching app existed. And he was like, actually, I think I know one. And I started using it myself, and I think it's brilliant. So it's a really useful app to kind of just keep yourself focused. And it's got some great cognitive behavioral tools and acceptance and commitment therapy tools sort of built into the app itself. So if you put into the app like, oh, I'm feeling angry right now, or I'm feeling restless right now, it will go through a series of questions with you like, oh, what is the cause of that? What is your role in this situation? How would you like to move forward with this? And I'm like a coach in my pocket.
Yeah, I'm going to look that one up. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Yeah,
good for people in the digital age.
Yeah. Is there a, over the last years that you've had this transformation, is there one quote that has really resonated with you, or one inspirational quote that you've used that's really helped you on track, or is there several?
Yeah, my goodness. I feel like there's a few. Definitely Tony's Live with Passion. I actually have it tattooed on my arm as a reminder. That is a big one, Live with Passion. And there's so many. I'm going to say that's got to be the biggest one. Like, I'm scanning my brain right now. There's like a million different big quotes, little quotes that sort of pop into my head. Yeah. Anything from Don Miguel Ruiz. Are you familiar with the Four Agreements?
Yeah.
So all the Four Agreements are big for me, especially the Don't Make Assumptions one. That's a big one for me. But yeah.
That is your go-to book.
That
is it. Awesome. Yeah.
And The Art of Love.
And you get something new every time you read it. Like, I must have read it 5 times by now, but you're always a different person when you read it. So you get something new out of it. And then, of course, there's my own Live Radically. That's mine. I like that one.
You know what? All of them are great. But Live with Passion was the one that caused the shift.
Yeah.
So that's the one.
That was a big one.
Yeah, with you most. And I just love that. And I hope that it has the same impact to people listening today as
well. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jamie, on that note, if you were to talk to someone today, what advice would you give someone who wanted to change their life story or to rewrite their life story?
So my best piece of advice, if you want to rewrite your story, is make the decision and get support. You cannot human by yourself. It is impossible to human alone. So once you've made the decision, stand in it and then get support, whatever that means for you, family, friends, therapy, coach, mentor, whatever that looks like, but get support.
That's right. It goes back to the connection you were talking about, where as humans, we just need to connect with each other, right? And
I'm
going to learn to love that.
Yeah. I really think I would not be where I am today without the people in my life. Like, it's made such a huge difference. So
that's beautiful. So if you could go back, Jamie, and rewrite your life story, what would it look like?
If I could go back and rewrite my life story, oh my goodness. Why would I touch such a brilliant piece of perfection?
I love it.
I love the way that my story has unfolded. I'm sure if you had asked Jamie 20 years ago if she could go back and rewrite it, I would have all kinds of things to say. But you know what? If you want to rewrite it, it's just about giving yourself the opportunity to rewrite from today. It doesn't have to be going back. It's just making it from today. You get to rewrite a new chapter, a new way of being.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Jamie, thank you for joining us today. And if you want to know more about Jamie and Radically Alive Coaching, her social profiles and her website are on today's show night. So please follow and reach out if you want to know anything more about Jamie. Jamie, once again, thank you for being on our show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a blast.
Now that we've interviewed our guests, join Charlene and I as we recap today's episode. I just loved that episode and loved interviewing Jamie.
How good was that?
When you think about her business, Radically Alive Coaching, it really emphasizes all that she is.
I know. It just encompasses everything that she believes in, her values that are just come shine through her biography.
Yeah. And my key takeaways is what she said at the beginning. She goes, I knew how to survive. And that's all she was doing. She was just surviving. You know, she wasn't living as such. She wasn't living truly authentically to her values. She was just surviving.
And yeah, it just did that one little statement that helped to turn the key for her. and help him realize, hey, this is not really what I want.
Yeah, that's right. Live with passion and just finding that Tony Robbins online, Live with Passion, it really changed the trajectory of her life. And it's so interesting that sometimes it's just in that instinct or that moment by chance that we can rewrite our story. And I love that.
I know. It's just really inspiring just to see where she's taken that and just coming from one end of the pendulum to the other and then just finding that balance is just so inspiring to see.
Absolutely. It's impossible to human alone.
I know. Oh, don't you just love that saying, it's impossible to human alone? And it's so true, isn't it?
Yeah, and because we were created for community, and community is part of who we are. Community is our transition to connect. In community comes healing, but a lot of people can't enter in community because of hurt.
That's right.
And that lack of trust. And I know that's something that we've been hearing a lot lately. It's something that we've been challenged with, is becoming vulnerable and learning to trust. And I just love that. You cannot human alone.
Absolutely. But one of the things I noticed is that her radical acceptance, that seems like it's been a big key for her as well. Like, you know, learning how to play, learning how to change things and take risks and actually connect with people. Because sometimes it's just so, you know, in the communities, there's going to be hurts and there's going to be that risk of being hurt again, or there's going to be a risk of something not quite going the way you planned it. But
what if it goes well?
What if it goes well? Exactly.
Yeah, I like her question. What if? What if it goes well?
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. We hope you found it informative and inspiring. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and share it with your friends and family. Also, make sure to visit our website at www.rewriteyourlifestory.com.au to learn more about our mission, products, and services. And remember, you have the power to rewrite your own life story. So go out there, face your challenges head on, and create the life you've always wanted. We'll see you in the next episode.